I was just thinking this morning that we're in the month of June already. It's like going to half of the year. I remember very clearly when I stood up here on the 31st of December, and we're all welcoming ourselves into the new year. If you're not here for that service, don't worry. You can look forward to the one that we're doing at the end of this year. It's going to be, so don't miss it. Put it in your diary if you can. But what am I saying? I'm saying that life goes by so quickly. You wake up, 1 month has passed. You wake up the next day, the next month has passed. You wake up, the next month has passed. So life is just going by so quickly. Life is just going by on a daily basis. And before we know it, you know, it just goes like that. One thing that really strikes me is that I remember my 18th birthday so clearly, which was like 3 years ago, in the spirit. No, I remember my 18th birthday like crystal clear. I was at uni, we had a barbecue. I remember where I was. And I wake up and I find out that, you know, time has gone by so quickly. So this morning we're continuing our series, This Is How I, ... So we started that at the beginning of the month. And we're looking at different critical areas of our lives so that it can help us reflect. First of all, we looked at the rich young ruler. We looked at This Is How I Live. We looked at This Is How I Give. And last week, Sister Tisha looked at This Is How I Navigate Change. So we're going through the series so that we can reflect on the different aspects of our lives and really grab a hold of our lives so that our lives just don't go down the route where we wake up and we're not quite sure where we are or what we're doing. So today I'm going to carry on with the series. We have two more. We're going to do another one next week. And the one I'm looking at today is This Is How I Want My Life to Be. That's what we're looking at today. This is how I want my life to be. And the main scripture I'm going to look at this morning is 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Then I'll make a number of points after we've looked at the story of a man in the Bible. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. And I'll read that portion of scripture. It says, His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. I'll read that again. It says, His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who has called us to glory and virtue. I want us to just keep that scripture at the back of our minds. So that portion of scripture is saying that God has given us everything we need for life and for godliness. But before I carry on with that portion of scripture, I'm going to read the story of a man in the Bible from the book of Luke chapter 12, verses 13 to 21. Luke chapter 12, verses 13 to 21. And someone in the crowd said to him, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. So Jesus was teaching, and someone raised up his hand and said, Jesus, I have a slight thing I want you to help me with. Ask my brother to divide the inheritance with me. So he was asking Jesus to intervene in a family squabble. Someone was trying to be a bit funny with the inheritance. And Jesus responded with a parable. It says, Jesus replied, Man, who appointed me to be judge or arbiter between you? Then he said to them, Watch out that you guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. So Jesus goes on to say, look, life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. And he goes on to tell a story or parable, which I'll read and I'll try and explain what the context is. And verse 16, he says, and he told them this parable. He says, the ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what should I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grains. And he said, and I will say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be to whosoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich towards God. So you have this man. Jesus tells this parable of this rich man who had a lot of grain. In those days, it was an agrarian society. They lived mostly on livestock. They had farms. They had crops. So it was like an agricultural society. That's how they lived. So this man had a great, vast empire of crops. And he was so prosperous, he now said, this is what I'm going to do. I have so much money. I'm going to build more barns so that I can, store all my crops. Can you imagine if, as I stood here now, I was saying to myself, well, I just said, look, I have so much money that I'm not quite sure Barclays Bank can, I'm not quite sure their vaults are, their systems are big enough to house or take all my money. I'm going to ask Barclays Bank, can they increase their systems, so that they can take my wealth? Someone is looking at me like, don't worry. I know some of you are just looking at me. You're like these secret millionaires. I'm sure I'm going to see you on TV one of these days. They'll be like, the life of a secret millionaire. Then we'll just see Sister Amma there. They'll be following her camera saying, this woman has millions. If I see anyone on TV like that way, just remember you have a pastor in Bristol. All I want is a trip to Dubai. That, you know that tall building? That tall building in Dubai. Yeah, that's all I want. From your millions. Some people are passing side comments here. If you pass side comments, you know you're in front. I'll ask you to come and stand on stage. And you can't hide at the back and quickly run out. So this man looked to himself and he said, look, what I'm going to do is build bigger barns so that it can, you can take all the wealth that I'm producing. So this man was pretty excited, I think. And he was like, yeah, I'm really making it. Things are happening. My investments are yielding. And he says to himself, as he's working really hard, that you know what I'm going to do? Once I've filled my barns with all these crops, once I'm so loaded, once I've made all the money that I want to make, then I will relax. Then I'll begin to enjoy life. Then I will relax and I will begin to enjoy life. Then Jesus now says something to him. Jesus now said that for this man, it got to the point where all his focus was just on making ends meet. His focus was, I want to make it in life. Now, if you read that story, this man didn't do anything bad. He didn't steal from anyone. He didn't dupe anyone. He didn't, trick anyone. So he was living a normal life like we all do. So you might be like, man, this is not me. This man is not me. Actually, he's you and I. He's you and I. So what do I mean by that in context? What I mean by that is this. There is what we do every day. We wake up, we are thinking, okay, how am I going to pay my bills? I'm going to work. I'm going to try and get this job. I'm going to try and do this. I need to do this. And like this man, maybe not at the same level as this man, we are all striving to make ends meet. Sometimes we're hoping that we can do more with our lives, get more money so that, we don't have to stress out. So we're like this man sometimes. Life can push you and I to the place where 95% of our thoughts are around how we make it in life. Now, is there anything wrong with trying to strive to be to have a good life? There is absolutely nothing wrong with that. Was there anything wrong with the life of this man? No. He was working hard, the same way you and I will work hard. The same way we're thinking, look, what do I want to do? I want my kids to do this. I want my kids to do that. Or my nephews or my nieces. I want to do this. So we're like him, striving to make ends meet. Striving to make ends meet. So there's nothing wrong with that. But Jesus begins to point out something, and I begin to see something in the life of this man before Jesus points out what he did. He was striving and striving and striving, and in his mind, it was like, I want to just work a little harder, a little harder. When I get to my retirement age or something, then I can relax. I can relax. Now, what does that mean to us? There's another perspective that we normally have. Now, I'm just giving us the introduction, and I'll make a few points to help us navigate this situation. There is a perspective that we have, oftentimes, and that perspective is something like, when I get this, then I can relax and be happy. Then I can enjoy life. When I have kids, then my life is fulfilled. When the kids come, no. When this happens, when I get this job, when I build this thing, when I do this. So there is this thing that we all do as people where we are always postponing and hinging the fullness of the experience of our lives till a future date. When this happens, then I'm good. When that happens, then I'm good. When this thing that I've been chasing, when I get that, oh man. So this man, apart from the fact that he was working hard and striving, he wasn't even living his life, I would say. He was postponing the living of his life. What do I mean by living his life? We'll look at that later. But everything was futuristic for him. I'll be happy when I do this. When I do this, then I will relax. Then I will do this. Then this will be better. Then my life will be good. Then my life will be that. Then my life will be this. So his life was futuristic. And it's pretty much like us as well. I remember once I said, oh man, when I... And you guys need to like really excuse me for this. Like, oh man, this pastor. By the way, I'm not one of these YouTube pastors. Let me just tell you that. I remember when I was much younger, I was like, there was a car that I wanted to get. I used to call it James Bond car, the James Bond car. Man, I tried my best to get that car. But that car caused some slight... constellations or stuff in our house then. It's like, why will you save to buy this kind of two-door car? Are there only two people in this house? Are there only two people in this house? We are four in this house. How can you want to buy a car that has two seats? Who will sit in the next, the one to sit there? How about, did I say it's me? I'm just giving you guys a story, by the way. Who will sit in the other car? How about the children? Are we going to tie them on the roof? The person that was saying this, are we going to tie them on the roof? And you know, in my mind, I was like, maybe. But obviously, I didn't say that because if I had said that, maybe we'll have had to go for several marriage counseling sessions there. Are we going to tie them on the roof? And in my mind, at that point, I was so taken by this thing. It didn't even occur to me that, don't worry, we wouldn't have tied you guys on the roof, by the way. everybody in the record there, and it's recorded. You can tell your brother that as well. So what am I saying here? I was so fixated on it, and mine was like, oh man, when I get this, then all, you know, I don't care about any other thing. Do you understand? My life was fixated. You guys are like, so what happened? Don't worry, that's not part of the story I'm telling today. But there's always one thing or the other that we want to achieve. And is that bad? No, it's not. But the thing is like this man, our lives can be futuristic. Always living in the future, never in the present. Then the last thing Jesus now says about this man is, at a point when he thought, okay, this is now, I'm going to, you know, rest and relax in the future. Jesus said, well, your time is up. You come to heaven now. And he now asks, all these things that you've gathered, who's going to get them? Who is going to get them? Now, was Jesus saying, look, just don't strive, don't, you know? No, Jesus himself says we should, whatever our hands find to do, we should do it with all our strength and with all our mind. So what is Jesus saying in this context here? I'll make 3 points, then we'll pray this morning. I'm taking us back to the scripture that I read initially, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, and I'll read. It says, his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us to glory and virtue. So, putting the story of this man at the back of our minds, I want to make 3 points this morning that would help us. 3 short points this morning. Now, what the scripture tells us is this. There are 2 aspects to your life. There are 2 aspects to my life. And the aspects to my life and yours is 2. It says in there that he has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. To life means everything you do on a daily basis in our natural world. You want to go to school, get a job, work, do this. Life. And godliness. Godliness is everything that has to do with your spiritual life in the context of God and in the context of church. Do you understand? So, when God sees you and I, he's not just thinking that we're spirits and all we do is just come to church and pray and do all these things that we do, which is fantastic. No, he expects that you have a normal life as well, a normal everyday life. So that's how God sees you and I, and that's what he expects from us. So 3 points this morning, just to summarize all that I've been saying and to put it in context, bearing in mind the kind of life that this man lived, and what Jesus told as a parable at the end of his life. So the first is this. You and I need to live life now on an everyday basis. And not to project our lives to the future, to the future, to the future, to the future. Now we should think about the future. If you want to achieve something in the future, walk towards it. But you and I need to live life, or the life that we have, in the moment. And I'm going to read 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, and another portion of scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2a. Actually, 2b, the second part. It says that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. I'll read again, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, the second part. It says that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Another portion of scripture is 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 8. It says, but if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. So the first point I want to make this morning is to draw our hearts back to the simplicity of life. Jesus was saying here, yes, you can go to, you can aspire to have all those things that you want. The red shoes, the green shoes, all those things, fine. But Jesus wants us to understand that the fulfillment of life, the living of life can be really, really simple. What does it mean when it says we should live lives that are simple? The question I have is, what would you like to do? What are the things that give you, or what are the fun things that you like to do? Is it just taking a walk? Is it just chatting with your friends? Is it spending time with your children or your nieces or your uncle, your aunties? What is it? Is it just walking down the road? Is it just going to McDonald's and eating that happy meal? What is it that you want to do or that you can do on a daily basis that is simple? So that you wake up every morning and you can actually live life content. I was like, what's Pastor Benson saying? But what I'm saying is this. You and I need to live in the moment. Whatever it is we have now, whatever condition we're in, whatever situation we find ourselves now, even if it's not palatable, even if it's not where you want to be, enjoy it. Now, I remember a long time ago, I think I just got married then. This was years and years ago. This was like, 1998. Like, oh my goodness, we married, 1998, years ago. And I opted out to go back to university with my late wife then. So full-time uni, I thought I'd get like a part-time job. That was in West London. My late wife then, thought she would get like a job as well because she went back to school. So we're both students, newly married. Man, when I started, I couldn't get a job, the part-time job that I wanted. Neither could she. Man, you guys should be happy we hadn't had you guys then. Man, we suffered a bit. What I mean suffering is like there was a time that we couldn't even afford transport fare to church. We'd go to our church in West London then, can you beat that? And we wouldn't have money to get back home. Our pastor then would, take me to the cash point and say, you can go. So things were tough. There are times that, for days, maybe we'll just have like a little food here and there and all that. But you know what? We didn't even know that we were encountering what people will say, hard times. It didn't even occur to us. So, and I'm not kidding. It didn't even occur to us that we're experiencing hard times. We just bounced around campus. Just chilling. If we had any, if we didn't have like dinner and all that, we didn't mind. We just went to bed, woke up the next morning smiling. So what we did was with what we had, we enjoyed life in its simplicity for months. So what am I saying here? I'm just saying that you and I need to develop a mindset where we appreciate where we are. Not that if where we are is not where we want to be, we just take our legs off the pedal. Yeah, we can aspire for the future. But let us, in the simplicity of life, appreciate where we are and enjoy life where we are. So that we're not like this man that was postponing his life till he passed. No. Wherever we are, we want to embrace it and enjoy our lives in simplicity. Some of my life, Pastor, you don't know what my life is like. Really? but you're breathing. Do you understand? So it says in that 2 Timothy chapter 6, verse 8, it says, if you have food and clothing, be content with that. So 3 points. So that's the first point, to say, look, when you go back home today, think, what do I enjoy? And begin to do it now. You might be like, oh, pastor, I need to fly to Dubai. That's why I enjoy. No, those ones are like, you know, I'm not like normal things, you know, like normal, you know. There must be normal things that you can do, that you can enjoy. And if you don't know, message me, I'll give you just kidding. Now, the other thing we look at is this. The second point I want to make this morning. So remember, put in mind that 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 said, God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Your everyday life and your spiritual life. Your everyday life, God is saying, look, live your life now with whatever you have. You can aspire, but don't let your life be postponed to the future. Now, the second thing is this. The spiritual part of your life, we should not neglect that as well. And I'll read 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. So, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, Paul the apostle, at the end of his life, he made a statement here. He said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. So the second part of our lives, or the other part of our lives, is this. You and I need to be conscious that there is another part of our life that God wants us to live, and it's the spiritual side of our lives. It is your life, my life, in the context of the church. In the context of the church. So this man, Paul the Apostle, at the end of his life, he could say, look, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. So our lives are not, even though we have our daily, the daily things we do, we have our aspirations, we must also keep in mind that God has aspirations for us. Our relationship with God, our lives in the context of the church, it's important. I mean, I was just talking to a couple of people yesterday, and we're reflecting, and we're talking about the church, we're talking about, you know, different things. And I left that meeting, and I began to think that how can we as a church move to the place where we see ourselves not just as people that attend on Sundays, which is fantastic, but as family members who, even outside of the Sunday meetings, we catch up. Outside of the Sunday meetings, we're there for one another. Outside of these Sunday meetings, I know what's going on in your life. Not that, we want to poke nose into anybody's business, personal business, but that we move to the place where we are living the life God wants us to live as a family. Not just as attendees of a church, which is okay, which is fine. But how can you live your life? How can I live my life in the context of the church where you know that, look, I am there for you as my family member. You're there for me. And I think there are times that we might think, well, I don't really have anything to contribute in the church. I can't preach. I can't sing like the choir people. I can't do these things. All those things are things that we do. But you just being there as part of the family is what really counts. You know, it's what really counts. I mean, in your families, like your immediate family, there are people who can do different things. There are people who just turn up and eat the food. It's true. There are people, there are kids who, what they do, they maybe like they're 3, 4, all they do is they run around. They don't cook. They don't do any other thing. They're just kids. And what? They're there. So do you tell them, you 4-year-old boy, you have to contribute something in this family. Now, I want you to cook, clean, and do all these things. The boy will just look at you, let you finish, and just carry on running around. So what do you do? Nothing. But the very fact that that kid or that child is there running up and down is enough. They're present. They're present. So what am I saying? You don't even have to be up here preaching or whatever and all those things. All you need to be is to be present in each other's lives. Do you understand? Now, so the last point, and I think I've alluded to that already, but before I say that, the first one is, look, you and I need to live our lives now. The second thing is that we need to also focus on the spiritual side of our lives. We have something to contribute in the church, in the context of this family. And the last part is, which I alluded to, don't postpone your life into the future. Don't say, when I have more time, I will participate in church, if there are things you can do. Don't say, look, I'm really, really so busy now, maybe in a year or two, I'll find time to do my hobbies, that thing that I like doing, or I'll find time to be part of the church. No. Don't postpone your life. Don't. You know, I went to a burial on Friday in London. And, you know, this gentleman, he was in his 70s, and I knew him. He's like one of the pastors in London. He was in and out of the country. And I knew him. I remember going to him. Every time I saw him, you know, he would smile. Then he would ask me, how have I been? And all that. And I'll be like, you know, I've been fine. Every time I saw him, there was a name he used to call me. Then he would ask me questions and questions. How am I doing? This, that. And I'll be like, you know. And he passed. And I was just thinking, as I was at the burial thing, they did the memorial service in the morning. Then in the afternoon, we all went to the gravesite on Friday. I think maybe I've been to, usually for funerals, I'll go for the memorial service and all that. It's not all of them that I will go to the gravesite, but I was there. And this man's coffin was there. There were people around, his family, his kids, his grandkids, and I was almost like transfixed. I was just looking at the whole setting, and they now put this man into the ground. And what came to my mind was, my goodness. So this is where the story of this man ends. This is where the story of this man ends. Then I reminded myself again. I said, Pastor B, you will not postpone your life. And I don't, generally speaking, anyway. But it just brought back home the fact that, look, you and I have a life to live. God has given you and I a life to live. Your personal life. And your life within the context of the church. So that when it is time for you and I to depart, we will not be like the man we read here that says, okay, I will do this in the future. We'll be able to say yes, like Paul, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. And I have kept the faith. Amen. Let's rise up and pray this morning.